I violated now two of my cardinal principles. One is never follow Marty Smith leading, and the other is never follow Gary Harvey preaching. No. Again, a little levity to handle nerves, as we do. All I can say to that is amen.
Yeah.
Having spent over 20 years in public education, I was the father to hundreds of children, if not thousands.
That's right.
I still get Father's Day notes from some of the boys. I've seen America crumble. And the reason it has is it's turned toward more of the thinking of the world than the thinking of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you would please turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 47. I made a huge mistake about a year and a half ago. I've been preaching through several books in the New Testament since I'd gotten to Mount Paran. And I made the mistake of telling the congregation, I said, I think I'm going to preach on a few of the Psalms so we can look at some lighter subjects. Probably about one of the worst things I've ever said. But I said that because the Psalms, for the most part, are some of the most easily understood verses in the Bible. Folks, you can read your Bible. Yes, there are going to be some times where you're like that Ethiopian said, how can I except some man teach me? But for the most part, the Word of God is written so that you can understand it. We just need to read it.
Amen.
And so the book of Psalms is one of those that I think fits quite well. It's great devotional material because you can understand it. And if you don't understand it, then you find out the purpose of your pastor. Ask him questions. And he fulfills his purpose here on earth and enjoys it. As we were worshiping last night, I was so excited to see Elder David Smith come in. We know that he got caught in Atlanta traffic, that he was probably 5 miles from here an hour before he got here. But he was so excited to come in the room. And he's so excited to hear the Word of God that there hasn't been a church service I've been in with Elder David Smith that he wasn't clapping his hands. So this morning, I want to remind you that we're to be clapping, shouting, and singing Old Baptists.
Amen.
I had the privilege of pastoring several of my aunts and uncles. Sometimes it wasn't a privilege, but a lot of times it was. My Aunt Ella, when she would get so excited about the Lord, she would sit back there about eight pews back and just clap her hands. Because there were no words to express. Didn't get the opportunity to pastor my Aunt Mita. She is still living in Tennessee, but I get to see her every once in a while. And one of the first times I remember getting to be with her in church was at the Mud Creek Association about 23 or 24 years ago. She'd been up in the mountains and only get to go to church every so often. And so when she got to go, she was excited to be there. And I remember it was a full house. And the preacher was going and she was shouting and clapping and bouncing in her chair. And it got to one point that she stood up because she realized nobody else was making any sounds. We're sitting on the third pew. And she turns around to the rest of the congregation and says, what's the matter with you? This man's preaching about Jesus. What was the matter with the rest of us? What's the matter with us, Old Baptist? We're too worried about what other people think, or we're too worried that we look like somebody else. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to convince you that this is what we ought to be doing because God has said that we're to do it. He starts out emphatically saying, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Amen.
Now, if I were to go to the Roman letter, and I were to say, ye have been made more than conquerors through him that loved you. You know what that means, right? That means he triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, and made you more than a conqueror. You don't have to conquer it. So why are we here? To talk about what he conquered.
Yeah.
And that's what David's going to say in this. And he doesn't start off by saying, say amen. He doesn't even start off by saying sing, and he doesn't start off by saying shout. He says clap.
Oh,
why is that? A young baby cannot formulate into words joy, but what do? Their hands move, and as soon as they can, they slap them together. It's the most primitive and simple expression of joy there is for the human to do. But we're afraid to do it. Why? That's out of order. You know, I have a saying when I teach singing schools to try to make people feel more comfortable with singing. I say, I realized a long time ago how weird I am. And I embraced it. And so I tell them, embrace your weirdness.
Amen.
Quit worrying about what other people think.
Amen.
Do not, now here's this, do not quench the spirit.
Amen.
If you feel joyed where you got to jump up, don't glance around first, jump. Because you're not celebrating anything that you did. You're not celebrating what that preacher's doing. You're celebrating God, who is triumphant King.
Yes.
So clap your hands, all ye people. David is setting us free. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Why do we come to church? It is to fully glorify God for who he is and what he has done. That is the primary purpose of church.
Right.
If we simply come to see what we get out of it, we have missed the main point.
That's right.
If we ever got nothing from church, God still deserves all of our praise, all of the glory, all of the honor.
Amen.
Great, brother.
It all goes to him. And so clap your hands. All ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, Baptist, do you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Then clap your hands.
Yeah.
There we go. I don't mean that as a joke, but
no.
I didn't think that would work. You're set free. Don't worry about those things. Don't clap because I told you to. Clap because what God's done.
Amen.
For the Lord is high. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth. For the Lord, the existing one, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah God, is most high. I consider that term like sovereign grace. We had to start using the term sovereign grace because people use the word grace, but they weren't talking about grace. They were mixing it a little bit worse. So we put sovereign grace on there. God is high.
Amen.
David recognized that there were people who say, well, he's kind of up there. No, he says he's most high.
Yeah.
But then he says something that 99.9% of Christianity doesn't like. He is terrible.
Yes, sir.
We use the term terrible like something gross or yucky or we don't like. Terrible literally means he is a terror to be feared.
Yes.
Jesus did not look like a hippie, nor did he sing Kumbaya, love everybody.
Amen.
The Jesus of the Bible is the same one that has the fiery white hair and a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth and is riding upon a horse in victory, wiping out his enemies. At the end of time, it is God the Son that executes judgment against those who tried to judge him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to scare people into the pew. Other folks do that. But I'm telling you, to just lackadaisically say, oh, I'm a friend of Jesus.
Right.
No, the only way that can happen is he calls you friend.
That's right.
Yes.
Because he is a terror to his enemies, and his enemies sin. And we're sinners. But if you look over in Deuteronomy, God through Moses reminds the children of Israel that they can feel safe and be of comfort, for God is among them who is terrible to their enemies.
Amen.
We want him to be that way. You know why? Because we can't defeat our enemies.
Right.
We can't. I don't dare you to say, Satan, get thee behind me. You know why? Because he probably won't. Christ said that because he had the power to deal with him when he got him back there. We don't have that. We need him that powerful, though. He is the Most High, and he is terrible. He is a terror to our enemies because they were his enemies first. Clap your hands. Shout unto God. He has, it's with a voice of triumph. See, that's the key. Church meeting time is a time to celebrate who God is. Now that means there'll be times that we are going to mourn for our sins.
Right.
But the primary focus is not to stay there and mourn for sins we've been forgiven of 40 years ago.
Amen.
Folks, we need to be singing praises to God because it gave us victory over that sin.
Amen.
And gave us the power to not go back into it.
Amen.
He is a great king over all the earth. You believe that?
Yes.
You believe he is the king over the United States of America?
Yes.
You believe he is the king over the Ukraine?
Yes.
And over Russia? I do.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what any man thinks, he is.
Yep.
Come on.
He can take the king's heart,
yeah,
turn it like water.
Yeah. Right.
Have you seen it happen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Folks, we're still here worshiping without the fear of somebody coming through that door. And I can tell you plainly, there's been enough people in Washington that hate God so much they want to stop this, but God hadn't allowed that.
Right.
Somehow, he turned their heart, or he got in their heart's way. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Now, this is very specific in some statements that David is making. The occasion of this psalm is one of two things, or both of them. The historical setting of this is probably when David had already messed up and tried to do things his way in bringing the ark back to his city. He put it on an ark like the Philistines. He wanted to act like other nations. It went bad for him. He got Uzzah killed by God. But when they brought the ark from the house of Obed-Edom, they honored God for all of his power because they had seen it. Because you remember, if you look at that account, after God strikes Uzzah dead, it says David was displeased.
Right.
David was displeased with God. I don't know how long it goes from that verse to the next verse. I'm hoping it was only a couple of seconds, because the next thing it says is David feared God.
Right.
See, the biggest problem with the world today is people are displeased with God, but they don't take that second step and realize they need to fear him.
Yeah.
We may not like the way he does things. We ain't got a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So we need to fear him.
That's right.
So David understood that God would allow him to reign and that nations were under him. But the way we can look at this, folks, is we have been made kings and priests unto God. We're not looking for a day where the people that we don't like are the subjects of us and they're our servants.
No.
We're not looking toward that day. We will be present on that judgment day. when we see those that are judged by God put into everlasting torment, and we're going to be singing the praises of the judgment of God, not pointing our fingers and wagging our tongues at people going to hell.
That's exactly right.
So don't interpret anything that way.
No.
The justice of God is also part of His holiness.
Right.
And so we should praise Him for it.
Amen.
I love this next verse. Actually, I love this whole psalm. You'd think Gary Harvey had been near me today. I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. He, who's the He? The Lord Most High.
All right.
Then what does He say? He shall choose our inheritance for us. How much of Christianity today is based upon our choice? But this says, He shall choose our inheritance for us. Oh boy, David says more. I don't know if David understood what he said. But David says a whole lot more than people want to admit. Because it's been a few hundred years already that the inheritance has already been meted out. So this isn't talking about natural Israel and natural Canaan's land. David says the Lord Most High that gave us this land will also choose an inheritance for us. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. At the end of his son's life, at the end of David's son Solomon's life, the kingdom divided.
Yeah.
It was not an everlasting one.
That's right.
Because some of the enemies were still there. And there were enemies within. And so the beauty of what we get to sing today is not that we're looking to have an earthly kingdom that might take care of our enemies. We have an eternal kingdom that's set up by God, and He has given us an inheritance that He chose for us. Then he says, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. A lot of folks don't see the importance of the Old Testament. I don't think I could understand a good portion of the New. I know I couldn't understand the book of Hebrews at all unless I looked at the Old Testament. But this morning, and every time you sing, you want to be singing to the God of Jacob. You know why? Because that's the God of covenants. When the Bible talks about Him being the God of Jacob, He is talking about Him being the God of covenants, and He is a covenant keeper.
Yeah.
And the covenants that He made were for men, not with men.
That's right.
God had respect unto Abel's offering. Why? Because He had made a covenant with Himself for Abel before the foundation of the world. And so He honored the gift that Abel brought.
Amen.
We want that because God's never broken a covenant.
Right.
Can we say that?
Yes, we can.
We certainly can't. I don't think there's an earthly leader that's ever existed that could say that. If someone were to ask you who your favorite president was, I'll tell you who mine was. It was Ronald Reagan.
Amen.
I was a teenager, and I was learning how the world was working. And I saw a man that was honoring God. And people say, well, he didn't always do that. Well, I hope there's repentance in people's lives.
Amen.
I hope we give space to one another to repent. I think he did.
Yeah.
But even that man, he broke some covenants. He made some mistakes. But the Lord Most High doesn't make mistakes, cannot make mistakes, and will not break His covenant.
Amen.
I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We are preserved by the power of God because of His covenant that He made for us. Then there's a word in there that says Selah. We don't know exactly what that word means, and so the translators left it there. But it at least means this. Pause for a second and think about what you just said. Wow. By the way, song leaders, That means cut off at the end of a verse. Let folks swallow and take a breath and then come back in. Y'all knew there was a singing school lesson coming sometime. But if we're not thinking about what we're singing, then we're not doing the right thing, because the most important thing we have is the words. Therefore, the words must be about the Most High, the terrible, the voice of triumph. Not what God's trying to do, but what He has done. Selah. And then, God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. I'm just trying to imagine what that was like in that temple worship. The first time they did that in there, they took that pause, and the musicians waited until they got silent, and then they shouted, God has gone up with a shout. Woo! Yeah. See, the other possible occasion is the prophetic application of this psalm, which is the ascension of Christ. Just like the ark ascended back to Mount Zion, Christ ascended back to His throne. Amen. And here is how David describes the ascension of Christ. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Yes. Keep your finger there in Psalm 47. Turn with me to Acts 1. We have the record of Christ's ascension in Acts chapter 1. Let's see if David was right. Acts 1 verse 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Mm-hmm. What's the scene? Jesus has taught them. Then he starts lifting up off the ground. That's right. And you tell me what you would do. You spent 3.5 years with this fellow. You saw him crucified. You saw him raised from the dead. And now he's floating up into the clouds. What are you going to be doing? Right. Looking up and your mouth hanging open. Right. In complete awe and silence. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what happened here.
Absolutely.
Now, when we look at this, we focus on the fact that the angels say that he's coming back in like manner, which proves that the return of Jesus Christ is not a secret rapture. Right. Every eye shall see it.
Yeah.
We use this to prove that, right?
Yeah, that's good.
But something we need to realize is what's behind what the angel is saying is the same way he's gone up visibly, he's coming back down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yeah, yeah.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Words mean things. We've changed the definitions. Prevent today means we get in the way and we stop something. What it literally means is to go before. So what he is saying is those of us that happen to be alive when the Lord returns ain't going first. So here's the deal. If only part of the graves open up, I think everybody's going to know what's going on. But the Bible says all of the graves are opening up. We're going to know what's going on. It's visible.
Amen.
And it's loud.
It is.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
With a shout, and a trumpet.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what David said? But he said that about his ascension, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
But here on earth, when he ascended, it was quiet. But what was it like in heaven? Isaiah 63. I think this is what it was like on the ascension morning in heaven. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. He answers for himself, it's me. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Here on earth it was quiet. Heaven opened up because the king came back. Right. And he says, it's me and it's done.
Amen.
He said it is finished here on earth.
Amen.
And a few weeks later he went back up to heaven and he said, it's finished. So the year of my redeemed has come. God has gone up with a shout.
Yeah.
The voice of triumph and with the sound of a trumpet. So why is it that we should be clapping and shouting? Because there's clapping and shouting happening in heaven. You know that God believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure he
did. So Paul says, get that straight in your mind. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's been the theme. That's why we ought to be clapping. That's why we ought to be shouting, because heaven itself is shouting, wow, what God has done. Now, folks, here's something very fundamental for us to understand. Angels ain't got a clue of what that means, because they're not redeemed.
That's right.
But they're singing praises to God for that redemption of us. Shouldn't we be doing the same thing? Shouldn't we have that same exuberance and not worrying about what other people think? Shouldn't we be organizing ourselves together to praise God in the way that he deserves? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So folks, we got to keep working at it. We got to keep adding to it. We got two markers to go by. One of them was at the birth of Christ, where the biggest choir that ever assembled on earth came down and said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And then there's another one that is all the redeemed and the angels together singing praises to God. We're not to that yet, so let's keep going. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Isn't that awesome?
Yes, it is.
So you know what David tells us to do? What is our response to this fact? Sing. Notice this, folks. Sing praises to God. Well, sing praises. I'm not sure. Sing praises unto our King. Well, are you sure? Sing praises.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, kid. Whether we want to or not, he deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's only a crackle that comes out of your throat, that's the crackle he deserves.
Yeah.
Because he is triumphant.
That's right.
And he triumphed for you. My son Jonah, who's not here with us today, his name was supposed to be Jonah Michael Lowrance. But on the day that he was born, a very dear friend of mine passed away. Brother Sylvanus Walker. Jonah's name is Jonah Walker, Lowrance. Brother Vanus Walker was a World War II pilot. He's one of two men that I knew personally that survived their entire tour of duty of daylight bombing runs over Berlin. There are not a whole lot of those. I got a chance to know two of them. Brother Vanus couldn't sing a lick. And sitting three pews in front of him was this arrogant singing school teacher listening every Sunday that Brother Vanus couldn't sing a lick. But he was one of my best friends in the world. I got a chance to preach his funeral. And then the next Sunday, I missed that noise.
Yeah.
What I had called a noise. I missed it.
Yeah.
And I looked around the congregation of people that I knew had voices to sing that weren't. And I missed it even more. Yeah. Folks, sing.
Amen.
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 If you want to get better at it, that's called singing schools. Give me a call. I'm not doing it to make professional musicians. I'm doing it because God deserves our best.
Yes.
If you don't like me, Brother Matthew, sitting back there, he can teach them just as well. I'm saying, oh, clap your hands. I'm saying, sing, 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 sing. In the Bible, it says that we are to praise God. You agree? In the Psalms, there is a prophecy about Jesus where he says, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Remember that?
Yes.
It's not a mistranslation when it's quoted in the Hebrews. The New Testament explains to us or fills out for us the shadow of the old.
Right.
So Paul says, in the midst of the church will I sing praises
right.
unto thee.
Right.
So praise at least means sing.
Right.
So if we say we're praising him, but we're not singing, we're missing the big part of it. Because
yes.
Jesus said, I'm going to do it, and he did it.
Right.
By the way, we only have record of one time Jesus singing. You know when that was?
Yeah.
After the Lord's Supper, washing of feet, they sang a hymn and went out. A cappella.
Yeah,
that's right.
People paying a lot of attention to the words that are in red in their Bible. What about the things that Jesus did? He sang a cappella in the church.
Right.
So should we.
Amen.
I can prove some more stuff, but that's sufficient right there.
Yeah.
That's the way Jesus did it. But David says, sing praises to God.
Amen.
He doesn't say sing to entertain men. He says sing praises to God.
Yeah.
And then what does he say? Sing praises. If the content of our hymn is not praise of God, we need to not have it. If you cannot recognize the words of Scripture in it, don't sing it. Find ones that you can. We are blessed among the Old Baptist right now to have more active living composers than the three generations combined before us. I have sitting on my desk at home right now 34 compositions that none of y'all have seen yet. And every single one of them came with something right along with it that I require of a young composer. Give me the scripture that you got it from. And they sing like sermons because they're praising the Lord Most High. They're teaching what the Bible teaches. Because David goes on to say this, for God is the King of all the earth. Here's something that I hope it convicts you if it needs to. And if you get mad at me, realize you're going to be mad at David, which means you're actually mad at God. All right, because God told David to write this. God is King of all the earth. Y'all already owe me amen that, so I got you. He starts this verse by saying four. He says, what is the reason we are to sing? because God is king over all the earth. So if we refuse to sing, we're saying God is not my king. That's what we're saying, folks. Do your best. Do your best. Make something come out. Don't worry about what other people say. See, what's so funny? It's real easy for everybody to clap a second ago, wasn't it? But if we're afraid to sing, it's because it's something very personal, and that's the reason God wants you singing to Him and not worrying about instruments. Amen. Because it's personal.
Yes.
It shows your life struggle in your voice. I used to be able to lead with my voice. I've gotten really good at leading with my hand because my voice doesn't work as well as it used to. But that shows my experiences with the Lord in my life. The Lord wants those things, and He deserves those things. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises. He says it five times. Sing ye praises with understanding. What is it? I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Right? If I were to pull out a violin and play this tune, da 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 da. What is your understanding? That ain't Amazing Grace. That's a tune called New Britain.
That's right.
That was not written to the words Amazing Grace.
That's right.
It's just become the most popular tune. Every musical instrument is dead and has no understanding and therefore cannot convey understanding. It can stir emotion. That's a dangerous thing. But with a voice, we have words. So that makes it the most important thing. Keep your finger there and turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5, I believe is the one I want. It may be the one in Colossians. No, I want the one in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you let... sometimes we just want a little peace, don't we? But Paul says that it can rule in our hearts. But then Paul also says, let. Paul, why'd you have to say that? Because that means it's my fault if it's not happening. I can either let my dog in the house or not let my dog in the house. It's under my power. And so if peace is not ruling in my heart, it's my fault. But Paul doesn't leave it as some existential, mystical thing of you just have to find the peace. He says, here's how you do it. By the way, you're called to this. You're called to have peace in your life. You were born again so that you could find peace. You know the wicked have no peace. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's peace with God that we get. To the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The first thing he says is get to church. Because you're called to do it in one body. That is the body of Christ, the local assembly. Amen. If you want peace in your life, you need to be at church as much as possible. By the way, Saturday morning right here, this isn't your church. This is bonus church.
That's right.
This is a meeting.
Yeah.
And by the way, Sunday morning is not church. It's a meeting of your church. Get there and then be with them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday so that when you're there the next Sunday, it's not, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. Hey, how you doing? I saw you last night. Yeah. One body working together in love.
Right.
And he says, and here is the theme of your worship, be ye thankful. When David is talking about clapping and shouting and singing, is he talking about anything that we have done?
No,
he's talking about everything that God has already done. And the promises and hope of inheritance that come along with that. So when people ask you, well, you believe in grace, why do you go to church? Because I'm thankful. You know, I told that to a fellow one time. You know what his response was? What a stupid reason to go to church. First thing I said to him, brother, you ain't reading your Bible.
Yeah.
Second thing I did is this is how I learned to answer that question. When they said, well, why do you go to church? I said, well, why do you go to church? You know what his response was? Well, because I want to go to heaven. You know what my response was? Well, isn't that selfish? Turn the tables on them, folks. Honor the Lord. It's not your reputation you ought to be concerned about. It's the honor of Christ.
Amen.
Christ died. Christ finished it. And when we shut our mouths and don't defend that, we're denying that it's done. Paul says another let. Says, you want peace in your life? Here it is. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How do you have peace? You know the Bible.
That's right.
When trouble comes, you know, the Bible doesn't immediately say pray. In the examples that we have, when troubles come, our response is to go to the word of God. David went to all of his friends. David gathered 30,000 men together, and none of them got the clue that they shouldn't be putting that ark on a cart. But if David, who delighted in the law of the Lord, had gone back to the law of the Lord, would have known that the Levites should have been carrying it and would have solved all that and would have avoided the whole thing, he'd have had peace in his house.
Amen.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. If there is a soloist, you're not teaching and admonishing that soloist a thing.
Amen.
Everybody ought to be singing all the time. Because you know what? We're always teaching. Whether we want to admit it or not, well, I'm not a teacher. Well, you know what? When dad says, we don't have to go to church this Sunday, we just taught our children that God's not worthy of our worship.
Right.
I'm going to step on some toes. I hope I do. I hope I kick you in the shin and knock your teeth out. I hate travel ball.
Yes.
It is the plague of the United States of America against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not called us to teach our children to be successful. He has taught us to teach them and called us to teach them to be faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
And to miss church to go play a game.
It's an abomination.
Amen. It's an abomination. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's a whole other sermon right there. But John Gill's wrong on this one. The Holy Spirit lists three different things, not three different names for the psalms. He says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Gil says that means that's just the different divisions of the psalms.
No.
I got a simple question for you. How can the word of Christ dwell in you richly if you never sing his name?
Right.
Yeah.
If we are only singing about the sacrifice in Christ in type and shadow, but we never sing about how he finished it and it was accomplished and he shouted, "It is finished." And we respond hallelujah in the song. If we never sing that, how is the truth dwelling in us? It's not all there. We need to be singing the entire word of God.
Yes.
You know what's awesome? God gave us the gift of music to sing praises to him. And it also helps us memorize the word of God.
Right.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and the letter to the Romans. There are times when I'm tired and I need to find... Just a second ago, I sang it in my head so that I knew where Colossians was. I'm not going to finish this song, but let's go back out and just read what David's got left for us. verse 8, Psalm 47, verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. That's not hard. That doesn't need any explanation.
Right.
Just because the heathen say he doesn't reign over me doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
By the way, the stupid statement, he's not my president, is a stupid statement.
Amen.
You're a citizen of the United States of America. It has one president. If you're not rejoicing in that, then rejoice in this. God reigns over the heathen, which means you might be all right. No, we are all right. Because our solution, and David's even going to say that, our solution is not in anything here on earth.
Right.
Why is it that we are to clap our hands, we are to shout, and we are to sing, 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 sing?
Yeah.
The princes of the people are gathered together. Sound like church.
Yeah.
Because it's even the people of the God of Abraham. You are the sons of Abraham because you are the sons of promise.
Yeah.
If you have been born of the Spirit of God, this is you.
Right.
The princes of the people, that's you. That's the church, are gathered together. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. What are the shields of the earth? Nothing less than the civil governments that God ordained should be there, spoken of in Romans chapter 13.
Right. That's good.
But God is over them.
Yep. Yep.
So don't put your dependence in them.
Right.
You may have never prayed this before, and it almost makes me burp up a little bile when I do it. I told you I've been hanging around with Gary Harvey too much now. Thank God for every single person that's in Washington right now. Because we're worshiping freely today. Which means that that civil government is not violating its purpose in regard to the church right now.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Pray that we continue to have freedom and more freedom.
Amen.
But this teaches plainly that it is not our design to take over the United States of America.
Yeah.
Because the shields of the earth are going to be there. But the princes, the children of God, are gathered together. And oh, by the way, what did Brother Gary teach us? It's his bride. And if anybody comes in the door, he'll shoot them. David says that, doesn't he? Thanks be to God. So the next time you're driving back home to Arkansas and you're listening to sermons, don't clap because you have to let go of the steering wheel. But shout.
Yeah.
And when you get to Sunday, when you come into church, come in clapping. Come in shouting. Come in singing.
Amen.
And see if the Lord won't pour out a blessing upon that local church that it cannot contain. And God will be seen as going up with a shout. And the promise that he's coming back with one to take us home. May the Lord bless you all in my prayer.